Oh, good morning. Yeah, I'm sitting here just visiting around like we got all kinds of time in the world, you know, so I can't get you guys out of here for lunch unless we get started, amen? Hey, look around, give somebody a wave and a smile, a good one. The friendly fellowship, don't look like you've been eating green persimmons that says, hey, you know what? I'm glad that God got me up today. I'm glad that we're able to gather together in the house of the Lord, and it truly is a blessing. Every opportunity that we have to be able to come together. If you are part of our online audience, we welcome you today as well. Our very own Dr. John Cazito is not with us today. He is taking care of his mother in Phoenix who had gotten out of the hospital. So there'll probably be somebody that will maybe make a response to you today if you happen to be making comments along the way with our online folks. But we're so glad that each and every one of you are joining us here today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together. Father, as we come to you today, we just ask that you will help us to take a deep breath, and Lord, to be thankful for the opportunity to come into your house. Lord, we know that each and every person here, no matter what stage in life they're in, Lord, times are busy. Our schedules are full, our calendars are full, but Lord, there's just something special about being able to walk into your house and to be still in your presence. And Lord, today I pray that as we do that, you will help us. Lord, that you will help us to understand the calm that comes in your presence. Lord, I pray that your word might be magnified today through every means. And Father, when we lift up our voices in just a few moments, I pray that we will think about the words that come out of our mouths. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just do something habitually like we always do, but Father, rather we would think about the words that we're going to sing today, that we will think about the prayers that we offer to you. Lord, that we will consider our giving back to you a true act of worship. And Lord, that may you open your word to us in a very special way today. May we meet you in this place. Now, Father, we know that you are here. We know that you want to meet us right where we are in our life and in our circumstances. And I pray, Lord, that you would take away anything that might hinder us from hearing you during the time that we will spend together. Lord, we're asking you to do some great things in our lives. Draw us close. Lord, I pray if there's one in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as Savior, that today truly would be the day they would give their life to you and understand what true living is really all about. So, Father, today help us as we worship you. And, Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Please stand with me as we sing 202, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Oh,
Check it out. There's no commitment, no long-term, no blood samples. You know, just come back. Just come have a good time with us and check it out. We'd love to have you. That's 4:45 next Sunday. We have some new music we're going to be starting. You are my all in all.
Thank you.
Amen. He is indeed worthy. Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of God's Word in Acts chapter 16. So if you've got your Bible, and I pray you do, go ahead and turn with me over to the book of Acts chapter 16. I don't know about you, but I know that there have been times in my life that there's been some what I will call spiritual confusion, and that's putting it mildly and calmly. Have you ever been in a circumstance or a situation where you feel like God is leading you in a direction? The Word has confirmed it. People have confirmed it. The Lord has told you in prayer, and then you start in that direction and doors start closing. You ever had that happen? So then all of a sudden, I mean, you're really excited out of the gate. You're like, oh, this is what we're going to do. The Lord's laid this plan out. Boom, boom, boom. We're going to go at it. And then all of a sudden, you come up there, and you think you're going to approach the door. You grab the door handle, and it's locked, and it's dead bolted shut. And then what happens is at that point, there comes a point of confusion very often. Because all of a sudden, we're sitting back going, wait a minute, did I read this wrong? Yeah, for some odd reason, I don't think I did, because yeah, the Word confirmed it. All these different things confirmed it. So why is the door locked when I feel like I'm following exactly what it is that God wants me to do? How many of y'all have ever been there? And there's confusion. You begin to, first off, second guess yourself. Did I read this right? Then you go back through and you evaluate the situation and you say, yeah, I read this right, but what's going on? Something is wrong. Yeah, you're like, why is this not working out? Now, most of us have heard this all of our lives. Yet we have heard that God will say yes, that God leads, God will say no. Sometimes God says wait, and we don't like that, do we? Yeah, sometimes you have to wait on this side of the locked door so that God can clear out the animal on the other side of the door that wants to eat you alive. And we don't always see that animal on the other side of the door. But in the process of going somewhere for the Lord, He is making you something and He is creating something along the way. But one of our things that we have to do is be patient with Him. We have to not second guess what God is doing when Scripture has proven it. Yet following Him is not the easiest journey in the world, is it? Yeah, because sometimes there's that confusion that goes along the way. Now, I want us to see some evidence today in Scripture of just what we're talking about. I mentioned a moment ago we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16, and we're going to deal with a few verses 6 through 10. Now, I'll go until it's time to quit. If I'm not done, we'll do like we did last time. We'll carry this over into next week. But Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 6, says this. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we just ask that your word would spring forth life within our hearts. Lord, I pray that today you would give us understanding. And Lord, the way that you do that is that you have the Holy Spirit teach us. The Holy Spirit speaks into our heart. The Holy Spirit speaks into our life. So Father, right now I pray that we would truly give room for the Spirit to speak to each and every one of us. But Lord, I also pray for something else. Lord, I pray for courage. I pray that you will give us courage to make adjustments. Lord, I pray that you would give us encouragement, Lord, to realize that there could be times that we're following exactly in your footsteps. And Lord, the doors before us may be locked, and it doesn't mean that we're outside of your will, but what it means is that you've got some preparation, some things to do before we go through that door. So Lord, speak to our hearts and encourage us today. As always, Father, if there's one that does not know you, I pray for conviction in their heart today. I pray, Father, that they would give their life up for you, that, Lord, they would understand what truly living is really all about. So, Lord, bless this, your speaker, in these moments. Lord, I pray that you would take these words and bring them to life with your children. Lord, I am nothing and no one without you. I'm not capable of anything without you. Lord, I confess that and ask that you would use me as your vessel this morning. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at this particular passage, context is incredibly important. Context is important in anything when it comes down to the scripture. Paul, at this point, is on his second missionary journey. He is not sitting still. Paul was one of those guys that I feel like would be really hard to keep up with. Have you ever had somebody like that in your life? Maybe a family member, maybe a boss. You know, they just keep on pushing and pushing and pushing, and you're like, look, man, can we sit down for a minute? Can we take five? Yeah, let's try something new today. Let's eat lunch for a change. Let's just not work right through it. Some of you all have been around people that are like that. They're like the Energizer Bunny. They go and they go and they go. I kind of liken Paul to that concept. Now, all of a sudden, what's going on is you have to realize he is still working. He's on his second missionary journey. He is not being disobedient to the Lord. He is not careless in what he is doing. He is actively trying to take the gospel to new places. All that sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah, it sounds like, hey, man, this guy right here is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He's trying to spread the word around. Now, he and his companions, because he's got some folks with him, they're moving forward. They're not sitting still. They're not letting grass grow under their feet. They're not sitting back saying, Lord, what should we do next? Now, we've had conversation and discussion. We even had it over the last couple weeks about the fact that too many times what we'll do is we'll sit back and say, Lord, I'm here. I am willing to be used by you. Show me where you want me to go. And then what we do is we've got this habit of sitting down. Now, I don't want you to mistake what I'm getting ready to say. It is incredibly important that you wait on God. But oftentimes what we do is we've got a plan already. And what we want God to do is join us on our plan. Amen? God, I think this is a really good plan. Why don't you just join me with what I've got planned out? And God says, no, that's not the way it works. I have a plan. Why don't you join me on my plan? How about let's do this my way? So now he and his guys that are with him, they're doing all the right things. They're moving forward. They're planning. They're attempting new things. They're serving. They're preaching. And yet again and again, God closes a door, and then he opens another one. Now that's important. Because sometimes we imagine that following God's leadership means that every step feels smooth, that every answer comes quickly, and every decision is obvious. You ever been there? Well, if this was God's will, this would work out this way. It wouldn't be this difficult. It wouldn't be this tough. We wouldn't be running into all these problems. Now, I am going to tell you something that, it's probably in your mind you're going to be going, well, I can see that. But yet in reality, often we don't understand it. Anytime that you are attempting great things for God, Satan doesn't like it. He is going to put obstacles in your way. He is going to cause you everything he can to try to slow you down from accomplishing what God wants. And you know what happens? He's very often successful in what he does. You know why? Because what happens is we get frustrated. Have you ever been spiritually frustrated? Sure you have. If you follow Jesus, then listen, if you're a Christian and you haven't been spiritually frustrated, me and you need to talk. Because I want to ensure you really know him. Because Satan comes after you hard, fast, and continuously. And he is going to try to stop everything. There will be, you have been part of something that God wanted to do, and it was plagued with issues and problems, isn't it? It's funny because oftentimes we will have those things happen around here at Central Baptist Church on Sunday. A lot of things that you will never see. Yeah, the soundboard's messed up. The video's messed up. This doesn't work. That's gone. This needs to take place. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. Something is wrong. Yeah, something is misplaced. It's always that way. Why? Because if Satan can get us frustrated, you know what frustration does when you are overwhelmingly frustrated. Most of the time what happens is you just throw your hands up and walk away. You sit back going, I'm done. That bunch of low, good, no down, dirty, double-crossing people, I'll tell you one thing. Why can't this work out right? Why can't this happen? This is for God, so it needs to work out properly. Well, you know what? God also knows what's going on in the situation as well. It's not always easy. Yeah. So when we look at Paul and we see what they were doing and we think about the fact that we want something to happen and happen fast, that's not what we see going on here in our text today. We see faithful people that are walking. We see faithful people that are trying. We see faithful people that are praying and moving and being guided by the Lord one step at a time. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to what I just said. One step at a time, okay? Now, that's a good word for us today. Why? Because many of us want God's will in map form. You know what a map does, don't you? Or let me make it current. You want, you know, God's will in GPS form. You just plug in a destination, and you hit go, and what happens next? All of a sudden, you'll see the little thing say, calculating, and all of a sudden, you'll see the percentage go up to 100, and then you'll hear that wonderful Garmin lady say, please, please follow the highlighted route. So it's got a route from where you are to where you're going, and every single turn is calculated. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? That's what we want. We want God's will in GPS form. And God often gives us his will in lamp form. All right, now let me explain what I'm talking about there. He doesn't always show us the whole road. Yeah, he gives us enough light for the next step. Any of y'all ever had some bad headlines? I don't want to say bad headlines, maladjusted headlines. Jimmy knows. Jimmy drove my Baptist truck the other day, and you know, you can see a hole like 6 feet out in front of the truck in the middle of the night. You can't see much going down the road. I got to work on that. But nonetheless, it causes you to have to do something. When you can't see what's in front of you, guess what you have to do? What would you do? If you're driving my truck and you can't see but a few feet down the road, what is the first thing you have to do? Slow down. Because you can certainly outdrive the headlights. See, I think sometimes God needs to slow us down to get us where he wants us to be. Because too many times, there was a cartoon character, I think it might have been a Disney character. Y'all remember the little mouse, Fievel? You remember him?
He's always talking like this.
It's going and going and going. The Speedy Gonzales Christian life is what we want. Epa, epa, angle. We just want to go, 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 go. And sometimes God's like, man, listen, you're not listening to me because you're too busy having the hammer down, going in a direction, and I'm trying to get you over here. And sometimes he has to yank us up by the nap of the neck and say, stop. You're going the wrong way. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, a lamp to my feet, not a floodlight for the future. But we all want the floodlight, don't we? We all want to see from where we are to where God wants us to be. And oftentimes, the Lord says, go, and you're willing to go. And you're waiting on him to put the stadium lights on the plan, and he hands you a match in the midst of the darkness. You can't see much from a match, can you? By the way, the Lord's Prayer also said this, give us this day our daily bread. Not give us this week, not give us this month, give us this day our daily bread. A lamp unto my feet, not a floodlight to my future. So from this passage, yeah, I want us to look at a couple of things today. And if we put a title on it, you can see it, following the Lord's leadership in our lives. And some of y'all would sit back and say, well, I'm not a leader. What's going on with that? No, listen, all of us are called to follow the Lord's leadership in our individual hearts and in our individual lives, plain and simple. Follow what it is that God wants you to do. Yeah, I want us to see, you know, four different movements in the text that help us to learn how to live under God's direction. And I'm going to give you, here's number one. The Lord's leadership sometimes includes closed doors. We don't like that, do we? Yeah, that's where the confusion comes in. Well, I thought this is what the Lord did. I thought this was the way that the Lord wanted me to do. We even get to the point where we're absolutely sure this is where God wanted us to be. And then that's why we don't understand why the door before us is locked. You know, we're sitting there going, I know without any shadow of a doubt, this is what the Lord told me to do. Why am I standing in the midst of a locked door? Verse 6 says, they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, being forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Then verse 7 says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. How would you like to have been on that trip? We're excited, guys. Listen, we're going to move into a new mission area. And the Holy Spirit says, not there. Close the door. Now, the interesting part is they didn't get uptight. They didn't sit back and go, well, we're confused. You know what they did? And this is something I like about Paul. I think this is something each and every one of us need to understand as well, that when God closes the doors, we cannot get discouraged. When we come up on locked doors, we can't get frustrated. How many of y'all get frustrated pretty easily? The rest of y'all are liars. It's easy to get frustrated. And when you get frustrated, that's when you're like, how many of y'all have ever heard that? You've probably even said it. You get frustrated with something and you're like, I'm done. I'm walking away from this. I'm not doing it anymore. That is exactly what Satan wants you to do. That's exactly where he wants you to be. But the boys didn't do that. They're like, well, it's where we felt like the Lord was leading us. I still feel pretty confident with it, but he's saying no. What do we do now? Well, I'll tell you what, let's ease on over to Bithynia. They got a lot of people. We can start up a good ministry down there. But then when they get to Bithynia, it says the Spirit did not permit them to preach the gospel there either. Twice. And see, if that was you and I, we would begin to wonder whether or not we were really discerning the will of God properly. Have you ever been there? Because not just one door has closed, two doors have closed. And you would think that there's a regrouping. See, that's not the kind of verse that we naturally underline in our Bible when we're looking for encouragement, is it? Lord, I'm kind of stuck here. I don't know what's going on. And you read that. You don't sit back and go, ooh, let me underline that one. That's going to encourage me really well. No. But it should be of an encouragement to us because you're not the only one that is going through those type situations. One of the greatest preachers on record had some doors closed in his life. See, we like the doors that are open. Yeah, we like the ones we can walk through. We like the ones we don't even have to reach up and turn the handle for. They're just wide open. Just walk right on through them. We like the green lights, don't we? Now, you want to get me frustrated? Satan knows what frustrates me. I shouldn't say it out loud, but, you know, he already knows. I already know. If I'm going down a stretch of highway and there are 10 stoplights, guess how many Roy Carter's going to stop at? 11. Because I'm going to have to stop for something else. And then, you know, you start saying, maybe I can make it through one of these lights. So you gas it up real good. Then you wind up slamming on the brakes because you're not going to get through it. That one down there in front of the sheets on 68 teases me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Do you ever get through that light being green? I don't. I've been sitting at that stoplight before and been the third car back. Light turns green, people start to go, and it'll go green, yellow, red before I can get through it, being the third car back. Y'all feel my pain? I'm sitting there going, just irritating me to death, and Satan's laughing all the way. They're closing. See, we like the green lights. We like the easy yes. But here, right in the middle of the gospel mission, the Holy Spirit says no. Not going to go there. The Spirit forbids them from one place and does not permit them into another. Now, let's be honest with each other. If that was you, what is going to be going through your mind at that point? I believe that there are some of us that would be sitting back going, I don't think we properly discerned God's will about this. Some of us would probably be sitting there going, okay, look, dude, you are the most disorganized. Paul, you are the most disorganized leader I've ever seen. You didn't check to see if we could get in here first. You didn't get the preaching permits in these two places. What's the matter with you? How easy it is to look at those that led you there and hold aught or fought against them. But right here it says the Lord is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who said no. Every one of us have had some no's in our life that we didn't like to hear. But let's be careful. This does not mean that Paul was doing something sinful. Too often we'll start to blame ourselves as well. The text does not say that he was stubbornly pursuing his own ambition as he went forward. It says that he was trying to preach the word. Man, that sounds like everything it should be. Trying to preach the word. He wanted to go where people had not heard the word of the Lord. And when we add that up in our lives, most of the time we sit back and say, well, that's certainly got to be God's will. It's certainly got to be his will that we go where nobody's heard the word because he wants us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. But even good desires need God's direction. Even ministry plans need the Lord's leadership. Even sincere efforts can certainly be redirected. I've often said this in my life. One of the things that I learned a long time ago is be willing to go forward. I've always used this illustration. This one's actually an original to me because it came to me one day when I was sitting in a vehicle back when I was in college. The Lord gave me this epiphany in my incredibly complex mind. I was sitting in a truck, and you know what happened? The truck was running. The truck had power steering, and I turned the wheel to the left. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. I turned the wheel to the left, and guess what happened? Nothing. And I was like, And then I turned the wheel all the way back to as far as it would go to the right. And guess what happened? nothing. Why did nothing happen? Oh, listen, the wheels were turning. But why did the vehicle not turn to the left and then turn to the right? Because it had no motion. You know what? Then all of a sudden, great epiphany struck. I'm being a little facetious here. Down in the floor, over on the right-hand side, there's a vertical pedal. And I stepped on that pedal, and the vehicle began to move. And when the vehicle began to move, guess what happened? When I turned the wheel, the vehicle went in that direction. See, some of us have sat down on God. Some of us are not moving forward like Paul and the boys. Some of us are sitting there going, God, if I'm ready to go. And you sit down in the beanbag of spirituality. And God is saying, great, man, I want to use you. Get up. Oh, Lord. Remember, I shared the tragic story of my buddy who'd been called to ministry, called to pastor. Never put his foot on the gas pedal. And then even when they came seeking him and said, listen, we need you to be our pastor. I'm like, listen, dude, if you were looking for a sign, that's it. It don't get no better than that. I was excited for him. I was sitting there. He was telling me about that. And I'm like, dude, when you leaving? When you going? And he said, well, I don't even have to leave. It's here in town. I'm like, mo better. When do you start? Well, I've got to pray about it. Ugh, that is the one time. And some of y'all are sitting there going, well, he's not spiritual if you don't pray. Folks, I believe that in life there are some things you don't have to pray about. Okay? I'm going to tell you why. If God called me to preach, and he did, and somebody asked me to preach, I don't have to pray about that. I'm like, when do we go? What do we do? That's not something I got to pray about. You know, when you're in your life, when God says, I need you to be obedient to my word in this situation, you don't go, well, let me pray about it. No. Certain things you don't even have to pray about. And I told you before, I saw him decades later. He, to my knowledge, to this day, has never followed the Lord's leadership in his life. He's never followed his calling. And the last time I saw him, he was making smoothies in the mall. To me, that is a tragedy. It's a tragedy. This is one of the hardest lessons to learn in the Christian life. A closed door is not always a sign of failure. Sometimes it's a sign of guidance. Sometimes God says no because he has a better yes waiting down the road ahead. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Notice that. We plan, but the Lord directs the steps. I've used this example before, and it drives me crazy. I'm that guy. Listen, I want the roadmap. I want the stadium lights. I want to know what's going on. I've become better over time, but one of the things that just drives me insane when somebody says, well, hey, we're going to go to such and such a place. And I'm like, great. You know, how do we get there, or what's the address? And they say, oh, I'll show you. I'm like, and yeah, they get in the car with you, and you get to the end of the driveway, and you're like, and they go, oh, turn right out of the driveway. And then you're driving. You don't know how far you got to drive down the road to the next turn. You don't know necessarily what lies ahead. You're trusting the person there who gives directions. Now, some of y'all don't give good directions. Some of y'all get too distracted. Where are my distracted people? Listen, if you don't know who you are, you're the one that all of a sudden going down the road, you say, you know what, I think we were supposed to turn about 5 miles back there. When I was training with Baptist on Missions, the older guy, we're in the mountains, man. I'm pulling a trailer through the mountains of West Virginia, and that was him. oh, I'll tell you how to get there. And all of a sudden he goes, I don't think we're on the right road. I got a 53-foot bunk trailer behind me in the mountains. You don't just turn them around anywhere. Finally, he goes, yeah. He said, we were supposed to take an exit back there. And I said, how far? Well, a little ways. You know how far I had to backtrack to get that exit? 30 miles. I'd gone 30 miles past the exit, and I had to drive 30 miles back to get to it. You know why? Because he wasn't paying attention. Now, let me make you a promise. The guy that's riding with you, the Lord, he's paying attention. He's going to give you the proper direction. He's not going to miss the turns. Now, some of you are the exact opposite. You will give directions to the point where the driver's going, some of you will tell the speed limit. By the way, it's 25 miles an hour through here. You're going to go through three stoplights. You're going to make a right-hand turn. Be careful because of the pedestrians up here on the right-hand side of the road. They just won't shut up about the directions. There's a happy medium, and the Lord is going to give that to you. Remember, we might make plans, but the Lord is the one who directs it. That is the accelerator. That is the motion. As you go forward, the Lord all of a sudden nudges you in the ways that you need to go. But he can only nudge you in the right direction if you've got a little bit of momentum going behind you. See, many of us know what it is to have plans interrupted. You thought that you would take that job, but it fell through. You thought the relationship would go forward, but instead it wound up ending. You thought the ministry opportunity was sure, a sure thing, but it never happened. You thought you would move here, but the circumstances blocked you, and you wound up going over there. And if you're not careful, you will interpret every single closed door as rejection. Every day as abandonment, every redirection as punishment. And some of you in your heart are going, yep, that's the way I interpreted it. But I guarantee you that there's a lot of people in here who, after you have looked back over the road, one of the most painful things in your life is what God used to get you where you are today, and you wouldn't have it any other way. Amen? Some of the biggest things that seem to have hurt the worst were right in line with what God's will for your life was. But this passage teaches us that the Holy Spirit can forbid one route while still being fully committed to the mission that he has you on. The gospel isn't stalled because one road is closed. The Lord is not confused because your plan has changed. I was like this, you know, when we were doing Hurricane Helene relief. You know, it sounds easy. Hey, listen, I want you to take a tanker of water up to here. Okay. And what do? We jump in, you plug it into the GPS where you need to go. And then all of a sudden, as you get up there into that area, you see a blockade and law enforcement going, you can't go this way. And you know what we always do? I'm like, I've got a load of fresh water for the community. Okay, hero, you still ain't going this way. Why can I not go this way? Well, let me put it to you this way. There's no road. It washed away. You can't get there from here. So you know what happens at that point? Do I sit back and go, well, I'm done. Just get out, shut the door, and walk away? Or do I turn my truck around and come back to Greensboro and say, well, they just didn't have it all together? No. You know what we start doing? Looking for another route. And guess what happened on the second route? You can't go this way. Got any ideas which way I can go? I still remember our guy that dispatches us took 80,000 pounds of water across a road that had been undermined. You talk about his prayer life being up and going? Yeah, boy. Like, Lord, keep this thing under me because these people need water. I'm doing this for you. The interesting thing is that the Lord is never, he's never improvising the plan in your life in panic. He is wise, he is sovereign, and he has a purpose. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. Yeah, I'm actually doing a video series on Joseph right now for Wednesday night. You'll see that in the upcoming month or so. But think about Joseph back in the Old Testament. His brothers meant evil against him, but God meant it for good. Think about Israel at the Red Sea. The water blocked their way forward, but that was not because God had lost control. He was about to display his power. He was about to display his might. Think about Paul himself later writing in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Not some things, all things. Not only the easy things, all things. Here's a practical question. How do we respond when God closes a door? Think about it for a minute. It's not all about what happens to you. It's how you react to what happens to you. I'm going to give you three things, then I'm going to shut it down. We'll do part two next week, okay? So how is it that we respond, or should we respond, when God closes a door? Now, I want us to understand something. How many times in your life, how many of you all have ever had God close a door in your life when you felt like you were going down the wrong path? Put your hand up. If God's ever closed a door, look, I want you to look around because I want you to see that there, you're not the only one. God is trying to get you over to his path, okay? So how do we respond when the door closes? First of all, are you ready for this? If you got a pen, this is a good one. It's a good one to write down. How do you respond? The first thing you do is you keep moving forward in obedience. Remember the parked car issue? You can't steer a parked car. You keep doing what God has called you to do where you are. You may not like where you are. We always like to dress it up a little bit. You know, we always like to say, bloom where you're planted. All right? That's a good thing, but you might be planted in the middle of a concrete driveway. Kind of hard to bloom there, isn't it? But you know what? You keep moving. Paul did not sit down in bitterness. He did not throw up his hands in frustration. He kept going. There's a holy persistence in this passage, and that's something that you and I need. When one road was blocked, they did not quit the mission. They simply kept walking until God made the next step clear to them. You get what I'm saying? Now, that's easy on paper. It's a little harder in real life, isn't it? Keep on going. Keep on showing up. Keep on moving forward. That's the first thing. The second thing, this is a good one. You ready? Here you go. This is it. Second thing, refuse to panic. Panic will do some crazy things to you. I can still remember one time, yeah, as a police officer, you know, a guy took off and he fell in some water. It was like a creek or a river or whatever it was, and about the time he fell, we grabbed him and he was thrashing around and everything. We thought he was just fighting us because he didn't want to go into custody. And finally, you do the thing, stop resisting. He's like, I'm not resisting. He said, I can't swim. And I said, you don't need to swim. And he said, you tried to kill me. I said, no. So I grabbed him by the nape of the neck and stood him up and said, stand up. The water's only 3 feet deep. Because he didn't know that. Because he didn't know what the bottom was. Refuse to panic in the midst of those situations. Sometimes delay is not denial. Sometimes the closed door is just a pause in the Lord's timing. You may not know why yet, but you can trust the one who does. He knows what's going on. I shared my personal illustration about the time when I had been doing a lot of traveling. I was coming back from the convention. I was ready to be home. And Boy, I tell you, getting on that plane, when we went wheels up to Greensboro, I was excited. I was just ready to get home. You ever been that way? Being ever so humble, there's no place like home. And then when we got there, I mean, I'm not this ferocious pilot. I'm not like, you know, Bill Gray out there, man. He'd fly them things. But here's something I knew. I knew how long the flight was going to be. I was coming in from Atlanta. That's only about a 50-minute to an hour flight. And to me, when I felt like I was more in a NASCAR race than an airplane, that's when I knew something was going on. You know, left turn, left turn, left turn, left turn. We were circling the airport. And I shared with you, I got mad. I got frustrated. I said, why don't we just land this stinking plane? I'm tired of planes. I'm tired of trains. I'm tired of automobiles. I want to go home. That's all I want to do. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of these delays. I want this plane to land. Pilot hadn't said a word. Left turn, left turn, left turn, left turn. I was this close to showing myself. When finally the pilot says, he comes on, he says, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I want to apologize for the delay. He said, as most of you have probably surmised, we've been circling the pattern in Greensboro. He said, what we had was we had a problem. There was a whole herd of deer on the runway. And he said, airport personnel had to go clear the herd of deer off the runway before we could land. And when I heard that, I felt like an idiot. I had gotten so mad over something I didn't even know about. If he would have landed that plane, we probably all would have died. You've seen what a deer will do to a car. Imagine what it would do to an airplane. And then that was the Lord said, look, man, sometimes I got to put you in the holding pattern so I can clear the runway for you to have a safe landing. Why don't you just sit back and have another Biscoff and a Coke and enjoy the ride? Get a pack of peanuts. Smile. Make somebody's day. But for crying out loud, chill out. It's a very valuable lesson. That was a couple of decades ago, and I'm still talking about it today. A lesson at 5,000 feet. Refuse to panic. Just because a door's closed doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't still have plans for you. He might be clearing the runway for you to land. That was the second. The third thing, we remember that God's refusals are merciful. When God says no, that refusal is covered with mercy. If the Lord stops you from a path, it is because he loves you too much to let you settle for less than his will for your life. He doesn't want you to settle for less than his plan for your life. We don't always know of the danger that is hidden behind the door that God closed, like the deer on the runway, like the bear behind the door that's ready to eat you if you open it up. But God knows. I always like to call it the 30,000-foot view. Yeah, you go up in a plane, you're cruising along 30,000 feet, you can see all kinds of things going on, can't you? Yeah, you can see traffic jams. I remember coming over, just miles and miles, all you could see was lights of a traffic jam. And I looked at the people that were coming up on it that didn't know anything about it, and I said, their day is about to be ruined for them. Because they're going to be coming to, they didn't know it yet. See, God sees everything. He's got the plan, and sometimes all we see is what's right in front of us. Trust that the God that we serve is going to carry out the plan that he has in your life, even when he has to say no, even when he has to say wait. You know, he loves you too much to let you settle for something besides his will, and we don't always know those dangers. We do not always know the temptations that are going to happen that we may not be able to stand. We don't always know the distractions. We don't always know the detour. We don't always know the waste that can happen along the way that he is protecting us from. You've done that before. If you've been a parent, there have been times that you have protected your children from something that they didn't understand. All they knew is, well, Mom and Dad wouldn't let me do this. But you knew what was going on. You knew what was taking place. One of the deepest acts of faith is not just obeying when God says yes. It's following him when he says no. That right there is following the Lord's leadership. So my question today is, are you following the Lord's leadership? Okay? There are a few more points that we have in this message, but I'm not going to get to them today. Because if not, we would have to order lunch in. But I hope and pray that as we consider what's taking place. By the way, I'm not leaving you hanging. I'll come back next week. We'll pick up with point number two about following the Lord's will. And this is incredibly important because I would say for each and every one of us, whether we admit it or not, there have been times that we have really been confused about what God's doing in our lives. We haven't understood it. We might have even gotten mad at God. We might have walked away from God. We might have thrown our hands up in frustration and said, I'm not doing this. You thought it was going to be easy. When you trusted Jesus, you thought living a spiritual life was going to be easy. Let me tell you, Christian people are some of the toughest people I know. They can also be some of the meanest people I know, too. But they're the toughest people I know, the ones that are living it out properly. I'm not talking about with their nose up in the air, the more spiritual, holier-than-thou type, you know. I'm talking about the everyday person that functions in life as a believer, that shows up every day, that shows up to Bible study every day, that shows up to church every time they can, that shows up in the mission that God has them for. Because I'm going to tell you something that might surprise you. Too many of us are working for things that's not God's will for our lives. I'm asking you right now, what did God put you on this earth for? If somebody asked me that, I'd say, God put me on this earth to preach the gospel. I know that. Okay, so then, yeah, if I'm doing something other than preaching the gospel, why? You know why? Because Satan is really good at distraction. Because this might pay more. Because this will get you shiny things. Because this will get you a bigger house. This will get you all the earthly things that will pass away. Only the things that are done for the kingdom will last. See, we got to snap out of this thing about God being something we just simply, you know, show up and do on Sunday. No, it's about who he is in our lives and how we live our lives in obedience to him and in accordance to him. It's a great trip. Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to have our invitation hymn in just a moment. But one of the things that we've been talking about is being obedient to God's plan for our life. My first question today for you, whether you're here, whether you're on part of our online audience, is have you had that time when you've given your life to Jesus? Have you been obedient to the call? Have you been obedient to the knock on your heart's door? There's a lot of people who have just ignored it. They're like, well, I'm not willing to change yet. I still got a few of my wild oats to sow and everything else. Listen, you may not get your next breath. You willing to gamble your eternity on that? The Bible would call you a fool. That's what the Bible would call you. You willing to gamble on that? Listen, I know where I'm going. You know, I'm not sending any prerequisites to what the home and glory looks like. You know why? Because if I did and God actually answered my prayer, it'd probably be less than what he has planned for me anyway. I'm like, Lord, you just design it. I'll take it just the way you design it. Have you got a home in glory? I'm not talking about what goes on. I'm not talking about what people see out this way. I'm not talking about what you can hide from your preacher, your deacons, or anybody else. I'm talking about where's your heart? It's time for you to come face to face with the Lord today. If it was him standing here, and if it was him that looked in your eyes, oh, see, here's the difference. He knows where you are. He knows whether you know him. And if he looked at you and said, are you going to be in my kingdom? what would you say? You said, maybe if you're honest and you said, well, Lord, no, I haven't trusted you. Well, I guarantee you the next words out of his mouth would be, you can right now. Do you believe that I took every sin to Calvary's cross? Do you believe that I went through the grave for 3 days? Do you believe that on the third day I resurrected and came out of that tomb and beat death, hell, sin, and everything else? And I did it for you. If you believe that, he says, then all you have to do is open the door and I will come in. And you will have eternal life with me, where there's no heartache, no sorrow. There have been times in my life when I've said, Lord, I know you're hearing my prayer. And I don't even know if this is possible based on the kingdom. But would you say hello to some of the people I love? And I name them off. Tell my dad, I said, hey, I'll see him in a little bit. Get Roger and JC and tell them I appreciate them. I love them. Tell grandma, I'm going to be there in just a little bit. I don't know if God will do that. But I don't know that he won't. Tell him I said, hey, I'll be along shortly. Will you be there? Will your family circle be unbroken? Will there be loved ones that will be left behind? Tell Ben, I said, hey. Tell my prayer partners, I said, hey. I'll be along shortly, guys. Thank you. Tell Al and Daisy, hey. Big part of my life. Tell him I'll see him shortly. Now, God's probably not going to let him see all the bad stuff that happens, but see, that might be good, encouraging stuff, so I don't know. I'll find out when I get there, but I ask. Go ahead and ask. It's all right. Tell him I said, hey, are you going to be with us? Listen, if you need Jesus, I'm going to beg you today, as he's knocking on your heart's door. Will you answer the door? I can't tell you if he's knocking on your heart's door or not. That's you. That's you. But you got to deal with him. I can't accept Jesus for you. If I could, every one of y'all be saved. You have to open that door by saying, Lord, I believe. I trust you. Come into my life. Save my soul. He will. Then we need to start living for him, because you just gave your life to him. You're no longer yours, you're him. You're his. So, what are you going to do? Your eternal destination depends on the decision that you make. That's all I can do is preach and tell you. I'm sure someday in heaven there's going to be somebody that heard the gospel under my ministry or somebody that I witnessed to who rejected the Lord. And it's going to break my heart when they get their eternal sentence to hell. And I'll be like, it didn't have to be this way. It didn't have to be this way. But it needs to be real, not something you do, somebody you know. Have you trusted him? If not, do that right now. Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe what you accomplished through Calvary and through the resurrection. Lord, save my soul and help me live for you. If you did that, then I promise you, you opened the door he came in. Now, there's other things he wants you to do, to be obedient to him, to be faithful to him. We can work on that. But listen, we want to celebrate with you. Would you let me know? Listen, we have our invitation to him in just a minute. Just come down here and say, look, man, I trusted Jesus today. What do I need to do next? We'll talk about it. Nobody's going to pressure you. We're going to celebrate with you. Maybe you're here today and you just got a swift kick in the britches. Britches. That's a good word, isn't it? How many of y'all grew up with britches? I said that somewhere. Somebody looked at me like I had three heads one time. What are britches? I said, yeah, britches? You obviously ain't country. They're pants, man. Some of us got a swift kick in the britches. Because the bottom line is we've been trying to do so, but we've been trying to steer God instead of letting him try to steer us. We want to follow him faithfully. And today we learned one step. We got four more. I thought I might get through two today, but I didn't. But by his grace, and next week, we'll try her again. All right? So think about it. Where do you stand with him? Maybe there's some things you need to get worked out with him. As always, the altar is here. As always, I will be here. Would you join me as we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 317, Only Trust Him, as Brad comes to lead us. As your heads are bowed before the Father, as you continue to do business with him, listen, make sure that whatever he is speaking into your heart today, you deal with it. Don't leave this place. Don't put it off for later. Deal with it now. As you continue to do so, I want to ask our ushers if they would make their way down front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, as we come to you today, again, you have just looked after us beyond anything we could ever even comprehend. Thank you, Father, for provision. And Lord, as it comes this time that we worship you by giving back a small portion of what you've blessed us with, I pray that we truly would be found faithful. Lord, I know that there are times when there is sting, but you own the cattle of a thousand hills and you have taken care of us. Father, as a church, I pray as the steward of what belongs to you, that you would give us wisdom in the best way to utilize what is yours for your kingdom. So, Father, bless the gift as well as the giver, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Just a couple things before we get you guys out of here. We do have a birthday coming up this week. Chris Harrell, he has to be maybe in his teenage years because mom and daddy are just, you know, so young. So he has to be a teenager. Chris got a birthday coming up tomorrow on the 27th. So if you get a chance, shoot him a message. Give him a big happy birthday. We're not showing any anniversaries for this week, but we do have events for this week. Tonight, 6 o'clock p.m., adult Bible study will be in here. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to be doing the Sunday night Bible study in here, but you've got to do me a favor. Everybody going to listen to me? Do not sit all over this sanctuary. If you will sit in the middle section, we'll do Bible study in the sanctuary. If you sit all over the place, we're going to meet in the closet back there because I'm going to get up close and personal with you. All right? 6 o'clock tonight right here, I will be doing adult Bible study. And then starting on Monday, that's what, tomorrow? Starting Monday the 20th. So we're already in this process. The library actually will be open on Sundays from 9 a.m. To 12 p.m. That's our library over in the other building. Other days and times could be by appointment. You can talk to Susan Wood or Barbara Anderson if you would like to make an appointment to go look or check anything out in the library. Library will be closed during school hours once school starts back up, which is 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Future events that we've got going on, August the 2nd, choir rehearsal will begin once again at 4:45 right here in the sanctuary. August the 3rd, Steve and Maury's D groups will resume coming out of the summer. Steve's is at 6, Maury's is at 6:30. August. And by the way, anytime you ever have any question about what these things are, let us know. We'd be happy to plug you into a D group. It's a small group discipleship. Or you can talk to either Steve or Maury or myself. August the 5th, 4 o'clock p.m. In the conference room will be the Women's Connections meeting. Then August the 3rd, 10:45 a.m. in the sanctuary, August the 9th, 10:45 in the sanctuary will be the minister ordination of Steve Kelly. Steve will actually be bringing the message that day. I will bring the challenge from our church, and we will also be having communion that day. We're going to give Steve a break on that. I will actually do the communion led by myself as well as our deacons. So keep that in your prayers and put that on your calendar. Then on August the 9th, after the service, there's going to be a reception for Steve that's going to be held over in the gym, right? Okay. So that'll be August the 9th after Steve's ordination, which will be in the morning service over in the in the gym. August the 16th, 12 o'clock, sanctuary will be our annual business meetings. That's the annual meeting. Prepare for that. August 22nd, 5 p.m. Is going to be the retirement party for Pastor David. There is a sign-up sheet in the narthex. If you would do us a favor and sign up, that way we will know how many people to prepare for. So on August the 22nd at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a big retirement party for David. We would love for each and every one of you to come and to be a part of that. He's blessed so many people over his years of service, not only with Central Baptist Church, but also over 50-plus years of ministry in the places where God has led him. Sign-up sheet in the narthex for that. All the food's going to be provided. We're not going to ask you to do anything. It's all going to be taken care of for you. Just show up. Of course, you can bring checks and cash. David loves cash if you want to bring it to give them a little something in retirement in by way of appreciation. Just to let you know, the picnic, because we're doing David's retirement there, it's all close together. We're going to postpone our church picnic for this year. Also, the church picnic was scheduled for Labor Day weekend, so probably not the best weekend. I know a lot of people are going to be traveling, so we're going to postpone that, and we'll figure out a better day for that. Then on September the 20th, my D group will restart, as well as Awana will be starting at 5:30 along the way there. So I'm sure there's probably something I've forgotten, isn't it? Anybody think anything? All right, well, that sounds good. Well, I got you just a few minutes after, but I still think you'll beat the Methodists down to the good eating places. So with that, would you stand with me as we dismiss in prayer? By the way, We do have several folks, in the hospital. We want to continue to remember. I'm drawing a blank now. Doris Hartsfield. Remember Doris? She is still in the hospital. And remember Bob? Yeah, he spends his days up there with her. Sweet, sweet lady. And some of y'all are going, who's Bob and Doris? Well, they usually sit back there with Bill and Shirley Monroe, kind of right behind Angel and Fred. But she's been in the hospital for quite some time. Keep her in your prayers as we go forward. And then Mitch Logan's mother just got out of the hospital yesterday. She had a ruptured appendix and then wound up having some infection from that. So she had to undergo some surgery. So a lot of things we need to be praying for as we go forward. So, but with that, let me close this out in a word of prayer. Father, you're good to us. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, I pray that you will help us to understand your word today. Help us to understand that no it doesn't always mean permanently. Father, you close doors so that you can open others. You close the ones we don't need to go through that you might open ones that we need to go through. Lord, I pray that as your children, when we find a locked door, we'll shake some other doorknobs until we find the door you've opened for us. Give us encouragement along the way, and Lord, bring us back again tonight to be able to have the opportunity to gather around your word. And Lord, we just give you all the thanks for all that you'll do as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, we'll see you tonight. Good job as always.